remembering you in my prayers. I ask and I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, thy riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe.
The regulations will be type of a thing. So that's in regards to the church. If you've got something on your mind that you'd like to talk to me about, I just encourage you to call the church office, and Charlie will get a hold of me, and I'll definitely make a concerted effort to reach you by phone. We can at least talk on the phone. Because I tell Charlie and Bob, I'm going like, I'm not a multitasker person. I just do one thing at a time. And right now I've got landscaping on my mind around the church, and I put a lot of time into doing that. And I'm realizing I don't have the energy I used to have either when it comes to doing some hard physical labor as well. But we got it going, and want to thank everybody for coming this past week from 9 o'clock to 10:30 as we kind of worked around the church. It's going to look a little different when it's all said and done, but don't expect it to get done really fast. But it will get there. And it looks pretty good now. Thank Dean Ramsey and those that helped with the rocks. Got some rocks around the church. We had the man handle those. No injuries to report. That's good. And thank Rob and Carol Manta for just cleaning up the parking lot, you know, the sweeper, and that was way beyond what we could ever expect you guys to do, but thank you so much for making the parking lot look so much nicer, and those of you that worked, I think, swept up some of the sand piles here this last week from where they piled up the snow. So we just are grateful for your help in those areas, and just some prayer requests, a couple prayer requests. Just continue to pray for Terry Dirk's dad, Roger Gilo, down in Texas. He's, you know, 130-some pounds, and that's pretty thin. And it's just a real concern. He does have prostate cancer. And so just keep him in your prayers as well as with Terry. Terry cannot go down and see him because of the regulations that are going on with the coronavirus taking place. And we are thankful that Ross Dirk's mom did have surgery this last Tuesday, and she's doing very well. Just to let you know that, and thank you for your prayers for both Roger and for Ross's mom. And so that is really all the announcements that I want to give today. Just hang in there. We probably won't be doing this, hopefully not a whole lot longer, but it's... one way we do keep in touch. It was fun to be at Bob Griffith's birthday yesterday and to see some of you there. It was outside, and it was just fun to be together once again. I can't give us a little flavor, a little sense of what it would be like when we get back to the church as well. But I can't wait for that day, as I know you cannot wait for that either. Looking forward to that day. So with that, I'm just going to just have a word of prayer, and then we'll hear from Bob Floss as he brings another song to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are watching and listening in today. And we are grateful that we can lean on you during times like these, knowing that we are relational people. We like being together, and we just will have to put up with what we're doing here for the time being. And trust you, Lord, that you are still working in the hearts and lives of people who are here and are listening in today. And Lord, we know that there are probably a lot of different things going on in people's lives that we are not aware of, but you know what they are. And I just pray that your touch, that you would come and that you would touch their lives, whoever is listening to me pray right now, that they know that they are not alone and that you are there with them. So we just look forward to returning us back to, I guess, a normal or a new norm, whatever that may be, but at least being back together. We look forward to that day, and thank you for how you're going to make that happen in the days ahead. So we just pray these things in service today, all that is said and done. May it touch people's hearts and people's lives for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is near the evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures up to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and they said, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Before I begin the message, I just want to say a short little prayer. Heavenly Father, reveal to us who you are as we hear this message from your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you have seen the movie or the show, the TV show called The Undercover Boss. It is where the CEO of a company or of the business, he goes out and spends some time with some of his employees to kind of just see how things are going out there in his stores or the places where they're employed at. Now, the CEO, he disguises himself so the people don't know who he is. He gives himself a different name. He sometimes will put different hair color on him or put some kind of a toupee or a different wig if it's a woman. And even change their name, and they will come and meet these employees as if they were newly hired or they're to be taught by them as far as what they do for the company which he or she owns and are the head of. And they work with them for at least a day or two and find things out about their employees along the way. And after a while, he then calls them together and visits with them and tells them that, well, he made sure that they knew who he was and he was spent time with them. And of course, some of them are kind of like, "Oh no, you got to be kidding me!" And they're wondering how they did it as he spent time with them. And sometimes he had to tell them that he didn't really like what he saw, or they're so negative and they didn't meet the people well, and yada yada yada. But for some, he says, "Well, you did a great job. You made me feel very warm when I met you, and you helped me. You taught me many things I didn't know before." And he learns other things about them and then gives them like $10,000 for something that goes for medical expenses that they have finding that's hard on them in their lives and could use some help that way. And he just does a lot of different things for them, and they had no idea that this is going to take place in their lives. But he does reveal himself to them, or she reveals herself to who she really is, and then they have this conversation together. And it's quite a quite fun to watch, and it's pretty heart-touching as well. We have a similar situation like that today in our text. There are two friends who are walking away from Jerusalem, and this is on a Sunday morning when Jesus rose again from the dead. And these two fellows, they're walking along the road to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles west of Jerusalem, and they're discussing what has taken place. They're kind of scratching their heads or just talking about Jesus and what had taken place in his life and how he was crucified, and then how now the women came back and said that his body wasn't there. They heard about angels, those kinds of things. And as they're doing this, Jesus comes alongside them, walks alongside of them on this road, and they do not recognize him. But Jesus asks them, as he comes up to them, "What are you guys talking about?" And both of them just kind of, it just stops them in their tracks on the road. And they have kind of like long faces, so the mood is very heavy. And they can't believe, we only know the name of one of these two guys. His name is Cleopas. And he says to Jesus, "You've got to be kidding. You've been in Jerusalem, and you haven't heard the things that have happened these past days?" It's like for us today, if somebody said, "I've never heard about the coronavirus going on." And we would say, like, "Well, where have you been? Under what rock have you been living under that you haven't even heard about this virus that's been taking place?" Well, Jesus asked these two guys, "What things? What things are you guys talking about?" Of course, he does know. And for some reason, I don't understand how they don't know who he is, but it says they don't recognize him. And so they know a lot about Jesus, but they really don't know that he's there with them in person. Kind of a lot like us sometimes. We think we're all alone when really the Lord has been there with us, and we just don't recognize him. We don't feel him, and we can't go by our feelings, but we just sometimes get down and out about different things because we just knew if Jesus was there, he'd be there to help us. But he's always there helping us along the way. And so we can't be too hard on these two guys because we find we're a lot like them. But this is what we learned from them. What these guys knew a lot. They knew that Jesus was from Nazareth. And it's important that they just said Nazareth because if there's anybody else who's had the name of Jesus, he probably came from a different village or from a different city. And so they know that this is the Jesus of Nazareth that they're talking about, and they knew that he was a prophet, he had a great ministry, his words were powerful, and he did a lot of things to come to healing people, and people who met him for life were changed for forever or touched. They mentioned that they had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And if they're thinking that he's supposed to come like as a political figure, that their hearts and hopes were dashed. And it's just like for us today, we cannot depend on government or even our president on different things. Our faith and our hope have to be on Jesus Christ and him only, and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit as well. They knew that this was the third day, so it is Sunday, and they knew that Jesus had talked about coming back to life on the third day, and they had heard that morning from some of the women that they were with, that they'd gone to the tomb early that morning, and they didn't find his body. They had seen a vision of angels, and the angels told them that they're looking for Jesus, that he was alive. And so they went back and they told the rest of the disciples, and these men were also there among them. And then some of them didn't believe these women. And so Simon Peter and John, they ran to the cemetery, they ran to the tomb to check out the story of the women, and they came back later on, and they reported back to the group of people that, yeah, the ladies are right. We went there, we could not find his body. And so these two guys, Cleopas is the only guy that we know of on the way to Emmaus, they knew enough that Jesus was sentenced to death by their own chief priests and by the rulers. Because they mentioned with a personal pronoun there that our rulers had done this. They also knew that Jesus was crucified, and to be crucified, it had to take place by the Roman authorities. The high priest, Caiaphas, at the time, any of the Jews, they could not carry out a sentence of crucifixion because the Jews could only stone people to death. That was their way of punishment. Only the Romans could crucify. And so there's where you see a little bit of the workings of the Jewish authorities with the Roman authorities, and they made sure that Jesus was going to die in cruel punishment with the Romans, and maybe they could then blame it on the Romans for killing Jesus. I'm not real sure there, but anything can happen in a case like this. But we know that Jesus was crucified by the Roman soldiers and by the authorities of Rome. Pontius Pilate was the governor, and he was the one who basically turned him over to be crucified. And so we find that these two guys on the road to Emmaus, on that Sunday, it must have been more in the afternoon as they're heading out of Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were there with the disciples, and they were eyewitnesses of what was taking place, plus they heard what was happening in Jerusalem. And as they're walking back to Emmaus, they're still not real sure of what's all has taken place with Jesus. They're not sure about him as well. Well, when Jesus comes to them on the road, he turns their minds and their hearts to the scriptures. And he just asks them a question. He says, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Of course, right before that, he kind of said to them, no, you guys are a little bit foolish here, because if you really believed in me, you wouldn't be having these kind of doubts. And so Jesus had to give them a little history lesson here as they walked along the road, and give them a little theology 101. He begins with Moses. And Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. So you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I guess that's how it goes. They're the first five books. And so Jesus explains what about himself, of how he is talked about in those first five books of the Old Testament. So you're going to talk to him first about Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it's the first time that we hear about the coming of a Redeemer. And we talked to him about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob. He would have talked to him about the Passover and about the things that happened in Egypt and Moses, as well as the Exodus, and then the Day of Atonement, dealing with the high priest, of how only the high priest could do that once a year for the entire nation of Israel, and asking God to forgive them of their sins. And so the point I want to make is in light of this, is that you can go to church your whole life and still not understand, because you just went to church wanting information and kind of seeing probably if the pastor would keep you awake or not, or go there for the stories that maybe the pastor would talk about, and that's what you'd remember, and not much else. But you go for the wrong reasons. You go there for information that is just up here in the head, and what we really need, and what the Lord is interested in, is really what takes place in our heart. And so God is interested in giving you a living faith in Jesus Christ. And that's really where it's important to be in church, or listening to messages, or reading the Bible yourself, or hearing it from some other source, and realizing that God wants to speak to you personally, and that this is for you to digest and to make that a part of your life. The Bible is not just an old book with a lot of different kinds of stories in it. It is the Word of God that can change your life and bring you into a new relationship with God as we take it seriously and let it come inside us and change us as well. Well, Jesus goes through that history lesson with these two men, and it's getting kind of late in the afternoon, and of course, the next thing they need to do is have some, let's continue to have more fellowship, and let's eat together, and why don't you just stay with us? And Jesus was kind of making them know that, you know, he'd like to go further on, but they persuaded him to stay with them, which he did. And one of the interesting things is that Jesus does, as they come together that late afternoon, is that he becomes the host inside the place where they go to spend the night, supposedly. And Jesus becomes the host, and he takes the bread, and he gives thanks, and he breaks the bread. And we think of our communion service, that it is a very personal time and important time for us individually as well. And as he gave the broken bread to these two men, it says that their eyes were opened, and that's the first time that they recognized Jesus. And they didn't even get a chance to probably say Jesus, because when they recognized who he was, Jesus, he disappears. Right before their very eyes, he's gone. And you can about imagine what that would have been like for these two guys. Now it's late afternoon or in the evening. It's supposed to be, you know, they're kind of tired of traveling and it's time to go to bed. But these guys are so excited, there's no way that they're going to sleep. And they start talking about, you know, I knew there was something about this guy because my heart was burning, and we could tell that what he was saying to us was true. And we didn't recognize him. I can't believe this. We spent all this time with Jesus on the road and didn't even know who he was. And then he disappears. Well, like anybody, you'd be too excited, you couldn't go to sleep. And so what these guys end up doing is they go all the way back to Jerusalem. They know where the 11 disciples of Jesus are at. And you can about imagine as they knocked on the door, because the disciples were afraid of what was happening, but they'd have to answer the door, and they'd kind of go like, oh, is it the soldiers or somebody coming to arrest us? But they hear their friends out there saying, hey, it's Cleopas and so-and-so, and we got something we want to say to you guys. And so they open the door, they let them in, and they tell the disciples and those that are inside this room in Jerusalem. They just said that it's true, that Jesus has risen from the dead. He's alive, and they spent time with him, and you can imagine it was a late night, probably for these guys to just tell him, and for the disciples to listen, and those in the room that just had to go like, amazing. So what we've heard today from the women who went there, and Simon Peter and John who ran to the tomb, it's all true. And now you guys said you spent time with him and actually saw him and heard him and ate with him. It's just, it had to be something that would be very uplifting for them, because they didn't kick him out of the house. They let him stay there. So in conclusion of the message today, I just want to bring this out, is that when the Luke, who is the gospel writer of this book, he is a historian, and he's looking at the life of Jesus as a historian. We know that by trade he's a doctor, and you know, doctors don't lie. And he wants to be very truthful, and he's looking for facts as he writes his gospel. And so when he writes these things, he substantiates them on the basis of two or more people. It's not a he said, she said type of a thing, but it's two people, the two guys on the road to Emmaus, and they're not part of the 12 disciples or the 11 disciples of Jesus, they're outside of that group. and they come back and say that they have seen, they have heard, they have been with Jesus, and they know that he's alive, and they just reinforce what they had heard that morning from the ladies and from Peter and from John. And so we know that Jesus reveals himself to us when we have a need. One of the things in Scripture that I think of is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. It talks about a veil that keeps us from believing who Jesus is. And that veil has to be removed from our eyes or removed from our hearts that we can actually believe in who Jesus is. I just want to read what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But their minds were made dull, for to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Did you hear that? I'll read it again. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What you could not see, what you could not understand, Jesus will make it real for you. It will be revealed, and you will understand it because of what he has done for you on the cross at Calvary. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. My friends, has that veil been removed from your eyes and from your heart? Only Jesus Christ can do this for you. He's done it for me. And I know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And so I pray, as I end this message today, I just say, Lord, remove the veil that are preventing us from seeing you as you are. Lord, remove the veil from our hearts that keeps us from believing in you and trusting in you with our whole heart. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. And thank you that you've given me forgiveness that I need in my life because of the sins that I have done. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need you in my life. Thank you for helping me to see this today. Help me for, thank you for removing the veil that has kept me from totally believing and trusting in you in my heart. I just want to thank you that it's because of you and all because of you that I can see, like the song that Bob started off with today, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That is truly my desire today. And your amazing grace that sets me free from the bondage of my sin. Lord, I need you. And thank you for being there for me every day. I pray and I hope that this is what your heart today is in need of here today, and that you have honestly even prayed this yourself. We need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's just pray with the Lord's Prayer and taught us people to pray. Do that after the last song that we're going to hear, where it says, lift high the cross. So I'll be back. Pray this with you as we listen to this song together. said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. It says, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great day.